As we roll into the 8 o'clock hour, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Lot going on. Lot to react to. Let's start things off by lighting the lamp, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. The Avalanche played last night, and kind of a role reversal. This time they scored the first goal, but I guess in typical Avs fashion, not wanting to make things easy for themselves at the start of games, they immediately gave up the equalizer 10 seconds later.
Yeah.
And found themselves going up against a pesky Montreal team that has been playing hard despite playing for nothing. And Montreal ended up eking out a 2-1 win and beat the Avalanche and ended the Avs' 9-game winning streak. Cale Makar saying they did not take Les Habitants lightly.
We knew. Even my dad was telling me like how good they've been lately, just in terms of just work ethic. So we're always prepared going into games. It's not like we're underestimating teams, and you have to respect every team in this league, like Jack said. And for us, it's just sometimes you got to simplify, and I think that's what it came down to tonight.
So, anything that comes out of this game that is a red flag to you, or is it, hey, 9-game winning streak, you did a lot of good things, nothing to see here, move on to the next one, don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I mean, this, all of a sudden, I didn't get worried about this Avs team. And they had so many really good opportunities they created, so many really good shots they created, where it just didn't, for whatever reason, it just didn't fall. I mean, a couple off the pipe that, like, great shots, great opportunities. I think McKinnon had one off the pipe, and then I think it was Randon had the other one off the pipe. They had some great scoring opportunities, Mike. They didn't go in. And there are all those things that you've talked about over the course of time that you haven't really paid that close of attention to, because you keep winning games, that those are great coaching opportunities, because you can take all those nine games, you can take all the little things that you said over the course of those 9 games where, hey, like this will cost us against the team. And you go, here it is. And you're going to lay them out for your team, go, these are the things that cost us. And then you can watch the tape and you can go back through it and you can point them all out. So I think it's a great learning opportunity. And it really didn't cost you a whole lot.
One more from Cale.
Something like this gets right in your face. We can get a little frustrated, but I think for us, we just gotta take a step back. And like I said, I think as a group, this was a big learning kind of game tonight in terms of just how we're able to handle that. Obviously, we've been down going into third periods and stuff, but not being able to simplify and kind of getting frustrated shouldn't be our MO. So for us, it's just getting back to being kind of that even keel type of team.
Yeah, and I know some of you out there bristle whenever I say this, although you, Mark, continue to support this idea as well. I think there are good losses. I do. I know that I'll immediately hear on the text line, there's no such good thing, no such thing as a good loss. I do. I think right. There are some times that when you win a lot of games, you get on a hot streak. Let's face it, you win some games where you maybe didn't deserve to win, but right. You're on a hot streak, right? You're on a heater. And that's what happens when you are winning a lot of games. Same thing happens the other way sometimes when you're on a long losing streak. You lose some games that, man, you under normal circumstances, you would have got a win, but you're in a bad way right now. So I think that as you come down the stretch and you have only about 9 or 10 games left in the season, I don't think it's so bad to have a loss sprinkled in the middle of all this, to just kind of remind guys that, yeah, let's not lose sight of what wins and what works for us.
Yeah, it's always one of those, like I always found it fascinating at the end of a, you know, the end of the season press conference where a coach would say, hey, you know, this game, we, like, this play didn't go our way and that should have been a win. And there's so many of those things that go the opposite way too. Like, hey, man, the ball bounced your way in these 3 games. So, you know, they all kind of wash each other out. But these are, as a player, I'll just tell you, as a player, these are the games where you look back on and you're like, wow, that was a real, like all those things the coaches have said, that this one cements it in your head, you know? And so you move on and you understand that, hey man, a 9-game streak was great. Oh, by the way, McKinnon kept his point streak alive.
He did. He did. How do you feel about that?
What's his point streak?
35 now.
And on a Tuesday.
And he did it on a Tuesday. But the Avs, as Brendan McNicholas, the PR savant over there with the Avs, had pointed out that I think they had like a NHL best 9-1 record on Tuesdays.
I think it was 11-2.
Okay, well now it's 11-3.
Yeah.
So they may have been passed. I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
By the way, because I know that you've made a few cracks, good-naturedly, about this MacKinnon home point streak to start the season.
Yeah.
Only now Mario Lemieux has more. But an underrated
Nice effort.
What?
You're so bad. You're so bad.
What?
You try to give me an over, really. I mean, it was.
That's not bad, though.
Yeah.
You got to give me credit. Yeah. Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, that could have easily been.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
All right. Good. You're sharp. All right.
I can
good
see
man.
It.
Good man.
I can
good
always
man.
Tell
all right.
when
well,
you
then.
Look away.
Yeah,
you
I
try
know.
To do the
I
look
can't
away.
Do
it's
that.
Like the look away.
I
pass.
Give it away. I give it away.
You look away. Oh,
give it away.
Mario Lemieux, you're looking over on the.
Yeah. I know. I know it's usually
you gotta
you.
Tell.
I gotta get. I
you're
do.
Like,
it is
you're
a
like
tell.
Teddy KGB.
You know what? Next time I go to Vegas, I gotta get me some of those Russell Wilson mirror sunglasses.
Yes.
Then I gotta do the show right here.
Right.
Wearing the mirror sunglasses, you'll never know.
Yeah. Then you'll get.
Then I'll get you on O'Reilly's all the time. Anyway, MacKinnon during this 35-game home point streak has put up a franchise record and an NHL best 77 points at home. So this isn't a case of a guy who's just, you know, barely scratching out 35 straight games with 35 points.
Right.
Right? This is somebody who's got, over the course of 35 games, he's averaging 2 points per game at home.
Yeah.
Over 2 points per game at home, which is an amazing pace. So congratulations to MacKinnon, but he would much rather have had the win, the Avalanche lose. Now, one last thing on this with the Avs. We talked about this yesterday, and you want maybe another reason why this is a good loss? So by virtue of losing last night and Dallas wins, Dallas has won 5 in a row, Dallas has the top record in the Central and the top record in, excuse me, most points in the West. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, the Avalanche would play Winnipeg in the first round of the playoffs and not have to play Vegas or Nashville. Because arguably, besides Dallas, the two top and the Avs, the two other hottest teams in the West are Nashville and Vegas. Nashville came back from behind last night to beat Vegas in overtime. So,
I do believe.
So now you may be looking at it and say, okay, do you want to stay right where you are if you're the Avs, if you're an Avs fan? Because staying right here, you get a Winnipeg team in the first round. Winnipeg has lost 4 in a row and has won only 4 of their last 10. Rather than finishing first and maybe getting a hot Nashville or a hot Vegas team. Again, however you choose
and
to look at it.
By the way, I think I read somewhere a couple of weeks ago that has Colorado never beaten Dallas in a playoff series? I think I read that somewhere. They've never beaten Dallas in a playoff series.
I know they had some series with them back in the day. Lost to them in the bubble. Few years ago, I got to go back and look at that up.
Yeah.
Johnny, can you look that up for me real fast? Avs versus Dallas playoff.
I don't think
series
I
history.
Think their cup wins, their four cup or their how many cup wins? Three cup wins.
Three cup wins.
Three cup
I
wins.
I know they all blend together.
Yeah, their three cup wins. They've never. I was already counting this year.
Right.
That's why I was going four.
Right.
Their three cup wins. They've never actually faced Dallas in a series. In their three cup wins. So.
No, series. Have they ever beaten Dallas in a playoff series? That's the question.
Yeah.
Papa Murphy's, home of Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. Meanwhile, the Nuggets should have some revenge on their minds tonight as they get a chance to host the Phoenix Suns.
Ooh.
And the last time they hosted the Phoenix Suns, Phoenix handed them one of only two losses for the Nuggets since the All-Star break. That 117-107 game here in overtime that they lost. How do you expect the Nuggets to come out tonight?
I think the Nuggets come out strong tonight. You'll get, you know, this whole number one seed, manage my player's health. They've been managing their player's health here the last several games because Memphis was essentially, you know, whatever they were. Portland started all five rookies, first time since the 70s. Like, they've been, guys should be fairly fresh. Right?
Phoenix,
Jamal Murray should be fresh.
I would think he'd play tonight. If he doesn't play tonight.
No, he's playing.
Now, that goes beyond just.
He's playing tonight.
Resting and load managing and getting him ready for the playoffs. Then there's something going on. But I would.
Yeah, no, he's.
I'd be shocked if he doesn't play tonight. But
me too. I think you'll get both teams full strength. I think you'll get the Nuggets full strength for sure. Phoenix? I don't know where Phoenix is right now.
Well, they're only 6-4 since beating the Nuggets in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they just lost the other night to San Antonio. Now, they had played San Antonio back-to-back games. They had won the first game. And so, typical NBA fashion, you just kind of, you know,
right,
take a night off. But at least as right now, and we should see it tonight, this should be Phoenix at full strength. As much of a playoff preview as you're going to get with the Suns in the regular season, I think you're going to get tonight. I would expect the Nuggets to be at full strength. Phoenix, the other night, Durant, Beal, Booker, all played. Nurkic, Grayson Allen.
This is where I
would. So you should see a full-strength Phoenix team coming off a loss. Nuggets should be at full strength.
I would be a good litmus test game. I wouldn't be surprised, though, to see Phoenix, after they won that game coming out of the All-Star break against Denver here, I wouldn't be surprised to see them pull some guys.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, hey, man, the last time we played you full strength, us. Well, they didn't have full strength because Booker didn't play.
Right. I'm checking the Suns injury reported. They do have Nurkic and Beal both listed as questionable for tonight. But as we've learned over the years in following NFL injury reports, questionable usually means they play, right? If a guy is listed as questionable, 90% of the time he plays.
That is correct.
So come on, Phoenix. We're just grinding through the rest of this regular season. Mm-hmm. We all just want to get on with the playoffs. But, hey, if we got to grind through these final few regular season games, make this one at least interesting, will you? Send out the full complement of guys.
That's the only way you can play.
Yeah, well, I mean, since they didn't have the book, the Booker.
The Booker?
Bring out the Booker. You want to see the Booker? Give me the mellow. Give me the mellow.
Bring out the Booker.
All right. I think because they didn't all play together, and they need to play together a little bit. I think the odds are they'll be, everybody will play. Like, odds are this will be a playoff preview.
I hope so. By the way, Avalanche 2-3 in playoff series against Dallas. So they have beaten them.
But, really?
2-3. As we sit here right now, and you handicap the biggest threats to the Nuggets in the West, give me your, how would you rank them? We do this every once in a while. We check in on this topic and maybe every couple of weeks.
Mm.
Where would you rank the biggest threats? Just so you know, the teams that are playing the best right now in the NBA, in the Western Conference, besides the Nuggets. Oklahoma City has won 8 of their last 10.
Yeah.
Minnesota's won 7 of their last 10. New Orleans has won 7 of their last 10. Dallas has won 9 of their last 10.
Damn.
And they just beat the Nuggets. Lakers came from 18 down without LeBron, beat Milwaukee and Milwaukee last night. Lakers have won 4 in a row, 7 of their last 10. I got a great Lakers stat here for you in a second. Phoenix has won 6 out of 10. Sacramento won 6 out of 10. The only teams in the West that are in the playoff picture right now that aren't playing better than 500 basketball right now over the last 10, the Clippers and the Warriors. And even the Warriors won last night.
Dallas is one
Miami.
9 of 10.
Yeah, they're hot right now. I still look at Dallas though, and I know that they just beat the Nuggets, but geez, Kyrie and Luka, that's a formidable duo. Would not ever sleep on them. I just don't know if they have enough around them over the course of a 7-game series.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, all those teams you mentioned, I just don't know San Antonio that well. I mean, not San Antonio, but Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I don't know them that well.
I still feel, and I could easily be proven wrong on this one. I still feel like they're a year away. That they are serving notice this year that next year, watch out, they're going to be a handful. But I just don't know if they're ready to make that leap this year.
Just from a pure talent standpoint, wouldn't you say Phoenix is the one that scares you a little bit the most?
Just because of the veteran nature of their guys,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, and Nurkic has that chip on his shoulder about playing against Jokic.
Yep.
And so there's always, he always seems to play really his best basketball against the Nuggets. Then you've got, you know, with Kevin Durant gets hot. I mean, that guy, you can't defend him. You know, that he can hang around the three-point line and knock down shots. And then with Booker as a playmaker, and I just feel like they're probably the scariest. A healthy Minnesota team.
You know, they're hanging in there without Karl Anthony Towns. We thought they would really suffer for a while without, but they've hung in there.
Yeah.
I guess I would rank them, for me, I would go Phoenix as biggest threats. Phoenix number one. Oklahoma City number two.
Minnesota?
Honestly, I think I'd put New Orleans ahead of Minnesota.
Really?
I think New Orleans...
And not Dallas?
No. I'd go New Orleans 3, Minnesota 4. And then you can talk me into either one, Clippers or Mavs. Sacramento, there's something off with Sacramento. I know they've given the Nuggets some trouble this year. Something's wrong with Sacramento. Like, they just... I know they were playing a back-to-back, but they just lost last night at home. So they were playing a back-to-back, but both games were at home. And fresh off coming off beating Philadelphia 108-96 on Monday, they turn around at home last night and lose 132-96 to Dallas. I don't know. Something's off there with Sacramento. So we'll see. Good. Hopefully both teams full strength.
Right.
Something. Hopefully both teams full strength tonight. Nuggets and Phoenix. By the way, games on ESPN, 8 o'clock.
8 p.m.?
8 p.m.
8 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Yeah. What are the odds that Mark makes it to the start of the third quarter?
The odds are zero that I make it to the start of the third quarter.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a tough one.
You get that halftime thing in there and, you know, Baba Bear gets so sleepy.
I know. You're going to have to go for like a walk around the neighborhood or something at halftime.
Yeah.
Some more stuff to get to. So did you see what the experts at ESPN had to say about the Rockies? Yes, folks, the Colorado Rockies baseball season, all you seam heads out there, starts tomorrow. Has there ever...
Do they open at home?
No, they open at Arizona. Four-game series in Arizona.
Yeah.
By the way, Jordan Montgomery just signed. Had been out there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Hero for the Texas Rangers on their World Series run last year. Out there as a free agent. Signed yesterday with Arizona. Why couldn't the Rockies make a all it would be is just throw a number at him that he can't turn down. Scott Boras' clients are always about chasing the bag. So why? Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not send to your fan base a message of good faith that says, "Hey, we're trying, and here's the one of the biggest free agent pitchers still out there on the market, and we are paying him a huge number to bring him here because we want to reward you, loyal Rocky fans." Could have been done. Could have been done.
Does Scott Boras say, "Hey, don't even call"? What if the Rockies called and Scott Boras goes, "Yeah, my pitchers aren't going to pitch in Colorado"?
What's the number? What's the contract? If the Rockies are saying, "Hey, give us the number that the top team is willing to pay your client." Okay, it's X amount. All right, we'll go $15 million over that. You think Boras is going to turn it down? No way. No way. But they're the Rockies. So anyway, this is why they get the ranking that they got ESPN put together their preseason rankings, power rankings before opening day. Rockies checked in at 29 out of 30 teams. 29.
Who's the only Athletics?
That's a great, you know what, I think it's probably the A's.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, here's what they had to say about the Rockies. What has changed most since we saw them last? Nothing has changed. They didn't attempt to fix the worst offense in baseball. They did little to improve their pitching. Another last place finish is on deck for the franchise that paid another team to take Nolan Arenado before signing the baseball player formerly known as Chris Bryant. Why change when you're consistently in the top half of attendance anyway? The formula makes money. By the way, just personally for my own ego.
Uh-huh.
I love that last line. Because what have I been screaming about for years? The ballpark is the star.
Yes.
They don't care about the baseball product.
Yeah.
If they're sitting around mapping out their plan in the offseason for the next season, what do you think is talked about more? How to improve the ballpark experience or how to improve the ball club?
Yeah. No, there's no question. Yeah, Atlanta's ranked number one, Dodgers two. You know, your Astros 3, Orioles 4, goes on and on, Phillies 6, and then it goes down 29th, Rockies, 30th, Athletics.
Okay.
Which, you know, pretty much makes sense. And that's several. I've looked at several now. So.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
But you know what? The ballpark is beautiful.
Yeah, but you know what? You ever been to a Dodgers game?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful ballpark. Beautiful area, neighborhood, Chavez Ravine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers could easily just sit back and say, yeah, hey, you know, we're the Dodgers and, you know, people will come out and we'll still draw over 3 million people.
Yeah.
Instead, they are going hell-bent to win championships. And the thing about the Rockies that frustrates me about Dick Monfort, okay, you're most interested in the bottom line. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. You're a businessman. I can respect that. You are bottom line driven. Wouldn't you think that putting together a great baseball product would only improve your bottom line even more? Like instead of drawing 3 million, 3.5, you're drawing 4, 4.5.
Yeah, but you're spending X amount. Like, you're spending so much more that even if you're drawing, you know, a million more spectators over the course of a season, you're actually, your bottom line is less because you spent more on the ball club. I mean, hey, don't get twisted now. They'll spend some money.
Money, 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 money,
Chris
money.
Bryant?
Oh, no, they'll spend money. They'll just spend it all on one person and be the wrong person. Sure, they'll spend money. Here you go, Ian Desmond. You know, here's $70 million, you know, those kind of things. Instead of spreading it out and building a really good baseball team, that's the part that just bugs me. Be bottom line based, fine, but understand that if you built a contending team here, my goodness, the business of Rockies baseball would go through the roof even more.
Yeah, people would be excited about it, merch, everything else.
Yeah, like plus all you that. Probably wouldn't find yourself in a position where your baseball broadcasts are being put together by Major League Baseball because you can't find a home. Although Nuggets and Avalanche have championship contenders and we don't need to get into their TV issues. So, yeah, well, maybe one doesn't automatically lead to the other, but it's a start. It's a start. I don't know. I just feel like Rockies baseball could be an absolute, that they're sitting on a
potential.
They could be a juggernaut. A potential powder keg. I really think that. But, hey. You know, that's the way they choose to do it. It's a good model. They're making a lot of money. The bottom line of baseball is good, even if the baseball team isn't. And they start tomorrow. Can't wait. So excited. Coming up, what is the relationship between the Paytons? Is it a good one? Is it strong? Or are George's days numbered? That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing, auto-pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Let's talk about something that I know is very important to you, Mark. Relationships.
Oh, yeah. Big.
You're a big relationship guy.
Oh, I am a big relationship.
I know, you are. You're good with your relationships.
Well, I don't know, I'm good.
So much so that whenever we're at a Super Bowl and we're walking around and you don't know the person that is coming up to say hello, you're like, hey, guy.
Well, that's...
How you doing? Looking good. Feeling good?
I mean, it didn't do with relationships.
Let me introduce you to my radio partner.
Yeah, that has to do with not remembering anybody's names, but I'm deep into relationships.
It's such a game we play. Mark will be like, I instantly know he doesn't know the name of the person who's come up to us.
Let me introduce
because
you.
Because he'll immediately say, hey, let me introduce you to my radio partner, Mike Evans. And then it's my job to go, hey, how you doing, Mike Evans? So that the person will then say their name. And Mark will be like, yeah, Joe,
sometimes you don't do it right. Sometimes you're like, hey, Mike Evans, and they don't give you their name, and then you got to go, I'm sorry I didn't catch your name. And then I say, oh, stupid of me, John. How did I not? Are you sure I didn't tell him your name? What? Man, it's great to see you. How's your family? No, I know you're not married. I mean, your parents, they both died, huh?
Oh, jeez.
Gosh, that's...
I got dark really quick.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk
about
relationships. Sean Payton talking about his relationship with George Payton.
You kind of get started when you get hired and you hit the ground running. He's been someone, I think, that has been very easy for me to understand, get to know, respect, trust. And, it's been a relationship that... that's been strong, and I appreciate it.
Here's George talking about Sean.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, Sean and I have a really good relationship. We talk, I don't know how many times a day. But during the season, it's a little more crusty. You know, he's a little more salty, I would say. This is his time of year. He loves the player acquisition process, free agency, draft. He's into it. His coaches are into it. It's very collaborative. It's easy, nothing's easy, but it's easier to scout for Sean because his attention to detail, he knows exactly what he wants at each position, and his coaches follow suit. And so it's easier for our scouts, to go to a school and say, man, that's a Denver Bronco type player.
Nice words said by both about the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Is it real? Just a real good, strong relationship. Because I think I speak for Broncos country. I hear the vitriol directed towards George Payton.
He is so collaborative.
I would bet that there aren't very many Bronco fans out there who would shed a tear if Sean Payton decided to part ways with George.
Oh no, there would be dancing in the streets for a lot of people.
What's your view of this relationship?
No, I don't doubt that.
Is George here for the long haul?
That I can't tell you. I don't know if he's here for the long haul or not. But I can tell you that I believe everything that George said. I think the impressive part is, how Sean is into the draft process, the player procurement process. And there is a definite definition, position by position, of what I'm looking for. So from a scouting standpoint, it helps alleviate any gray area. I want my guy that plays backer to be this in these parameters. I want him to look like this. I want him to, that to me is incredible. And I keep going back to that video I watched of Sean McVay talking about Puka Nacua. And he's talking to his general manager, Les Snead. And these were his words. He said, he stays grounded through the catch. I mean, he'll keep his feet on the ground. so that he can move after the ball hits his hands, right? So he's grinding through or running through the catch. He's not stopping and waiting for the ball to get to him. He's attacking the ball in the air. He's grounded through the he is involved in the run game. He's a willing participant in the run game. He'll dig out support in the run game. Meaning, hey man, if you're on a push crack and here comes that safety, he's not afraid to get in there and knock that dude in the teeth and give yourself an opportunity. Aggressive hands when he catches the ball. He's going and he's attacking things. So he's talking about, these are a lot of the things I want in a wide receiver. He never mentioned he's got the requisite speed or the requisite, you know, footwork or route running. Yeah. Or he's talking about intangible things on film that he wants out of his receivers.
And most importantly, he and the GM are on the same page.
Right.
Well,
right.
Then the question is, in a short time here, in a year, has Sean and George gotten on the same page? Because
right.
To me, this is a classic case of don't listen to what they say, which was glowing adjectives used by Sean Payton in talking about George, but mm-hmm. watch what they do. And we've seen Sean bring in plenty of former Saints
right.
to put his imprint on this organization, the Saints way. Well, who'd they hire in the offseason? Cody Rager. Okay, he'd been with the Saints for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
9 years. Most recently as their assistant college scouting director, he gets hired to be the vice president of player personnel here with the Broncos. Come on, that's not hard to connect the dots. You're bringing in a guy that you know very well from your Saints days, who knows very well what worked and didn't work in New Orleans, knows exactly what Sean wants in a Saints player.
Right.
Which he figures to want in a Bronco player, and this guy is an up and comer, and Sean made it a point to bring him here. If I'm George Baden, come on. I know it's being sold as, well, you know, Cody will work with George Payton and continue to strengthen the overall Broncos front office, but connect the dots, man. This guy was brought in to replace George.
I don't know about replacing George. Like you got to have a pro personnel director. You got to have a college scouting director. You've got to have. There's a lot of positions within an organization, and if you can work hand in hand with that group, and you know exactly what Sean is looking for, I don't know about. Is there potential of that? Like, absolutely. There's always a potential of. You know, promotion from within if you're not happy with a guy. But I don't know that he's not happy with George. Is there anything that would indicate he's unhappy with the way George... I mean, George has fallen in line. We know what George is now. Remember, we were having press conferences with George all the time about everything
mm-hmm.
Broncos organization mm-hmm. related. Not anymore. He's been an afterthought because he is working for Sean. So is there a potential of them moving on? Sure there is. But part of that also is there's got to be, you know, from an ownership standpoint, the ownership's got to be on board with you firing another person. And the other thing is George somewhat of a liaison between Sean and ownership? I don't know. Like all those questions, I don't know any of those answers to any of those.
I don't know if George is there as a liaison, then that if I'm Sean, part of me wouldn't like that. What are you? Running back and running upstairs and reporting to Greg Penner for me?
No, but if Greg Penner is saying, "Hey man, I want you know, whatever." I don't know. I don't know how that works, but Greg Penner obviously was here with George. Now maybe Greg Penner is just like, "Dude, you know, you convinced me that Russell Wilson was the right move. You made the move. Then you signed him before you had to sign him." Maybe Greg Penner is saying, "Hey, Sean, once you find his replacement, that could, I mean, maybe that's going on." I don't know.
I don't doubt for a moment that, because everything we've known about George Payton is that he's an incredibly hardworking guy and he's very passionate about what he does. So let's put that in the pro column. But while he may work hard for George, for Sean.
Uh-huh.
There's, and this is something we don't know yet because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but do they click when it comes to George immediately understanding what Sean's kind of player is? Or is George still struggling to figure that out? And does Sean maybe look at a guy like this Cody Rager as somebody who already will know what I'm looking for? That, if George, if Sean is like, hey, these are the, this is what I'm looking for in an inside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And George comes back and says, hey, I looked at all the prospects and here are my top five. And Sean's like, all right, boom. These are it. But what if three of them are like, no, that's not what I was looking for.
Right.
You know, you got two of them, right? But the other three, and also look at free agency. What about the two guys that had agreed to sign with somebody else? Until what? Sean picks up the phone and goes, no, Will Lutz, you're not going anywhere. Get back here. And he does.
Right.
So was the first part of that handled by George? And George's handling of it led to Will Lutz deciding to sign with Jacksonville? And then with Sean who said, whoa, no, right. get back here.
Well, did Sean dump a bunch more money or did Sean just say, no, you're my guy? Like, was the money the same and Sean just said, no, you got to stay here. I need you. Like, I don't know. I'm sure, again, we go back to relationship. I'm sure the relationship with Sean and Will Lutz, it made a difference. Or Sean with Sternad, it made a difference. Plus, do you really want to go to Jacksonville and do you really want to go to Carolina? Or would you rather stay here in Denver?
If you had to lay out odds, and we got a break. If you had to lay out odds, George Payton is doing the same thing that he's doing right now a year from now. Where would you put the odds?
80%.
Really? That high, huh?
Yeah.
I'm lower than that.
Where are you at?
I'm probably at about
50-50.
No. I'll say 40%.
So you think he's getting fired?
Yes.
Right after the draft?
Soon after, yes.
Okay. All right. Coffee bet.
All right. We'll do it. Sounds good. Up next, nothing like buff on buff crime. As you'll hear next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Couple of quick Bronco notes, and we'll get to buff on buff crime here. Broncos are expected to be at LSU's Pro Day today, which features Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So a chance to fall in love with Jaden Daniels. Can't wait for those breathless reports from Jaden Daniels' pro day later. Look at how far he threw this ball.
Oh, yeah.
Look at how far he threw it while he was running to his left, throwing back across his body.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen a throw like that at a pro day since Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Neighbors, though, they've got Malik Neighbors there, yep. So I'm sure he'll be catching balls at the pro day at LSU. I'm sure they've got half a dozen other guys that are projected to go, you know, high in the draft.
Coach so, Brian Kelly will be there. All the scouts will have a hard time understanding him, talking in that very authentic Southern accent of his.
Yeah. Mom and them coming down. Do you want to come over for some sweet tea?
Remember his first press conference?
Oh, my gosh.
As an LSU coach, I was like,
What a toolbox.
I always
talk about authenticity being important. That dude.
Wow.
Talk about D-bag. Yeah.
Guy goes from Notre Dame.
I do.
Midwest is Midwest is, and he goes to LSU, and suddenly he's, I reckon this, and fixing to do that, and y'alls, and.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
Mom and them. Sweet tea.
Another bit of Bronco news. Indirectly, we learned about their interest in a player as reportedly former Titans cornerback Christian Fulton turned down offers from the Bengals, Cardinals, and Broncos to sign with the Chargers. He goes to LA on a one-year deal. So they had interest in another corner,
mm-hmm.
which they have to upgrade the corner opposite of PS2. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I cannot watch Fabian Moreau out there. The last images I had of Fabian Moreau was Aiden O'Connell lighting this dude up. No, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's... There's still guys out there, though, right, in free agency? There's still... Well,
this Christian dude was.
Yeah. There's still dudes out there, so that'll be interesting. Draft. Is there a guy they like? At 12, might that be an option?
Well, we've seen the name Terrion Arnold.
Yeah.
From Alabama. Another one. Boy, how would that...
That would go over.
That
like
would
that.
Not go over well.
Fart on a church pew.
Holy smokes. After yeah. all like, this talk Rogue, and they draft a
Rogue
corner.
Just you looked like, at me.
You ever heard that one, Rogue?
Fart on a church pew? Loud? You know, the wooden church
pew? Oh, gotcha.
In a quiet church?
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Oh, yours yeah. were wooden?
Well, some church pews are.
They're, oh, we had nice cushion ones there.
Like cushy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Look, if you have to sit there for an hour and 10 minutes, you got to at least be comfortable.
Right.
Hey, is your bracket busted? Stink, you can sit this one out. First place, Mark Schlereth.
Yeah.
Is your bracket busted? Yes, as last place, Mike Evans, it is. Don't worry. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game tomorrow.
Johnny, can you put something on our schedule for next year at this time? Just put on there that I sit down with Mike and kind of walk him through, you know, how to study and prep for the bracket so that he can do a little bit better next year.
Yeah, because clearly Stink's ability to break down Illinois' 1-4 offense has proven to be so beneficial in the way that he filled out his bracket.
I think a lot of times Mike doesn't look at the weak side rotation and the lack thereof.
Yeah, and realize that, you know what, Gonzaga's really good at it.
Right, that could be the breaking point for a certain team. So, anyhow,
next time I'll place myself in your all-knowing hands. So,
and we know it.
We heard a little buff on buff crime yesterday, which
I heard that.
I found interesting. So, Shedeur Sanders, the drive was reacting to something Shedeur Sanders had to say, which Shedeur was standing up for himself as to what he's had to overcome to get to this point.
I came from a private school, so at the end of the day, I dealt with a lot of negativity, a lot of hate, a lot of everything I done dealt with already year after year. I came from a small private school. All the other kids was going big, you know, Power 5, and they went to big 6A, Texas 6A schools and stuff. I don't see those same kids around. I don't see them excelling in their programs or whatever they're doing. So I've always been against the odds, like, in different ways.
Well, fellow buff, Philip Lindsay, on the drive, wasn't buying it.
You're talking about a private school. You're talking about having these hard times. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, not everything always has to be a sad, heartfelt story, especially when it's not true. What hard times have you truly became and had to come from? Like, I know everybody goes through their times. Believe me, rich, poor, everybody has an issue going on.
For sure.
But you're trying to, like, build us up to say, like, you just work so much harder than the next person. When you had a father that had a lot of money, and you have the chains, the grills, all the shoes you want. You've never had to miss a meal. You never had to worry about the lights being cut off. But yet, you're going through some tough times. That's what pisses me off. Because there's a lot of players, a lot of my teammates, a lot of people like myself that went through things like that. And then you're sitting here talking about poor you? That's where I get unsettled.
Did you hear poor you?
No.
I didn't what Shedeur had to say?
I didn't hear a victim mentality at all. He said he had different, you know, it's not like he just, it's not like, yes, he had the shoes and he had the, you know, he had the equipment and yes, he's got the grills and yeah, he's got a bunch of money, you know, and this, that, and the other, whatever. But he's saying some of the things that he had to fight through are still real in his world, and they're still hard in his world. And, you know, you didn't come from a big 6A school. You didn't get a big-time scholarship to Texas or whatever. You had to go to, you know, Jackson. And, yeah, you've had a father. But
I didn't have to go to Jackson.
Well, they went to Jackson. Okay.
He went to Jackson to be with his dad. He could have gone to a D1 school.
You know, he had offers? You know his offers?
I don't, but yeah, I
don't either.
But
I don't.
But Travis Hunter went to Jackson State, right. And
but here's
we know he could have gone somewhere
right.
else.
Okay, but here's my point is this: My point is everybody has certain things they have to overcome. It doesn't make it, it's not like he's saying I'm a victim. He's saying I had other issues. I had things I've had to overcome. And I would tell you this, man, I had somebody on the text line earlier when we had this conversation, was like, oh, you know, it's much harder. It is much harder to come from nothing and I would say from a motivational standpoint, it's probably harder to come from a lot and still have the motivation to bust your ass and become great. Like, so there is people that, well, you know, you see the boxers, they always come from nothing. And that's why, and like, I'm like, yeah, why do they always come from nothing? Right? Because if you've come from something, you're like, I'm not going to put myself through that work. I'm not going to do that. That's too hard. I've got a fallback plan. And like I told you about Arthur Smith, who was, you know, his dad created FedEx. His dad's a billionaire. And yet he chose to grind through being the offensive quality control guy and sleeping 4 hours a night and busting his ass to become eventually a head coach. And now he's the OC of Pittsburgh. Like, I have a lot of respect for guys who come from something and still have the wherewithal. And I'm not saying that it's harder. I'm just saying it's different.
I'm not questioning his work ethic. I just the whole perception that, you know, I came from the mud. You know, the rags to riches Cinderella story of Shador Sanders. Come on. He grew up a child of privilege. His dad has coached him every step of the way. Right. So there's a built-in advantage right there. He's playing college ball in a situation right now where he can go off and walk the runway in Paris and miss a team meeting.
There's a lot of allowances that he
gets away with that nobody else gets away with.
There's no question that he's come from a privileged place. But you know what? All the privilege in the world ain't going to make you next year's first round draft choice. That story is going to be told on film.
Sure.
And you got to work to be that.
Yeah.
And he's going to be there.
Peyton Manning came from a silver spoon upbringing. He did just fine. Tom Brady was very comfortable middle class family that he came from. And you're talking about two of the most ferocious competitors out there.
Right.
So, it just rings hollow for a lot of people that a guy driving around CU's campus in a Rolls Royce is talking about how, you know, where are all those 6A guys and look what I was able to overcome. I understand.
It just rings
hollow. That's all.
I understand. Well, I didn't hear.
And by the way, also let's be real too. Where you play high school ball when it comes to being a top flight baseball, basketball, it doesn't matter anymore. It's all about the camps and the showcases that you're a part of and you get to show off nationally. That matters far more than what you're doing in high school. I can ask every parent out there who's got a stud high school or basketball player. Let's face it, what you're doing off season from your high school season matters more.
But I did not hear, oh, look at what a victim I am. I'm a victim. Wasn't part of it. He said he did have to overcome some stuff. Yeah. I understand that.
But there's still I had to come from a private school where all these 6A guys had all the advantages, and look what I overcame. I'm here and they're not. Well, I'm sure a lot of 6A Texas high school football players would love to have had their dad coaching them every step of the way.
And there's a lot of 6A Texas high school players that are going to be the top of this draft. Pretty much every one of them.
And they're all going to big-time Division I programs as well.
By the way, real quick, Shador did receive offers from like Bama, Georgia, South Carolina, LSU, Tennessee, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, he did okay.
Florida State.
He did okay.
Yeah.
From that tiny little
private school.
I don't know. Whenever you lead with, well, I went to a private school.
Yeah, but I would ask you this, real quick. I know we're way up against it.
But Christian, it was a small private school.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey, listen, that dude, his dad was Ed, his mom is Lisa.
Yep.
They have a great family, an unbelievable family. They're doing okay for themselves, right? They've done well for themselves. They've busted their ass to do well for themselves. Christian McCaffrey, nobody works any harder than Christian McCaffrey, and he comes from quote-unquote privilege.
Well, he did a bunch of interviews at the Super Bowl. I never recall him saying, hey, I look at my journey, look at how I got here, look how much I had to overcome coming from a private school in Colorado. I didn't have the chance to play 6A Texas high school football. He was asked a ton of questions. He never
answered
a question that way.
I understand that. You still got to do the work.
I agree.
And the proof will be in the pudding.
I agree.
Sorry. We're way late. Rogue is just...
Yeah, like, she's going to kick us. All right, we got to break.
Both in the shins.
All right.
Look at her.
Oh, she's... All right, we got to break. Mad. Otherwise, she's mad. All right, go. Break.